Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Sorry, you may hear what I'm eating right now, but it's a minstrel. Minstrels are probably one of the best chocolates. In fact, I had this discussion the other day with someone. Yeah, out of all the chocolates out there, my favourite is got to be, I think, Galaxy or Terry's Chocolate Orange. Unbelievable. Do you know who else is my favourite? Is our guest today, by the way. Okay, this person who's coming on the podcast today, I am so excited because I actually had a boy crush on him when I was growing up. Literally a boy crush. I mean, that isn't that weird? I had a crush on this guy. I remember once I went to a place called Val de Lobo, which is in Portugal in the Algarve, and I saw a guy who looked like this person. I thought it was him, and I followed this person the entire night because I thought it was the person that we have on today, but it wasn't. Our guest today, ladies and gentlemen, Danny Jones. Yes, Danny Jones from McFly. Danny Jones from McBusted. The one and only. Yes, the coolest rock star out there. Now, we chatted about everything. We chatted about music. We chatted about band life. We chatted about how the band was put together. We chatted about his family. What's he doing now? Music, the music industry, how it's changed. Tattoos. Literally everything. Very fun podcast. Made me very happy, actually. So listen, if you feel like... So I'm meeting another minstrel. If you feel like hanging out for the episode, please do. I think you'll really enjoy this. Also, remember, we are still on tour. If you want to go and get our tickets for loads of different theatres, plus the Clapham Grand, which is in London, on the 7th of November, because the 8th is sold out. It's privatepartspodcast.com. Tickets are still on sale right now. Right, team. Anyway, over to you guys to have a listen to this. Enjoy it. Whatever you're doing, whether you're commuting, exercising, hanging out, doing whatever it is. Someone was telling me they were listening to this while having an MRI scan. So if that's you, good on ya. This is Private Parts, episode 83 with Danny Jones. Enjoy.
Here we go. Back again.
Yes. You bring it. You bring. That's like if I was a DJ, that's what I'd start every song with.
Well, you'd be an MC then, wouldn't you? Unless you're talking over your DJ.
No, I'm a DJ and an MC. That would be my.
You'd be like one of those ones that goes around to like school discos with your mobile disco.
like Phoenix Nights.
Yes. I can actually, in that hat, that outfit, I think I can see it.
Why would I, what, in any way?
Like a yellow light, a blue light.
No, I wouldn't.
Yeah, you would.
No, if I got, like, firstly, there's a few things I got to let
and
you know.
You'd be like DJ Booney.
What the hell are you talking about? Firstly, before we even start this podcast, I was going to let you know, God did not allow me to be a couple of things. He didn't allow me to be a DJ. He didn't allow me to be over 6 foot, and he didn't allow me to be in a band. Otherwise, it would have been unfair. That is 100% true.
Or haven't.
It's true. That's why. And what he's making me like, we can't give him those qualities.
We can't give him an IQ above 100.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Private Parts Podcast. This is where we read the most intimate and sordid details of our lives. Joined with us today, we are very excited, Danny Jones! Buddy, how are you, man?
I'm good, man. Thank you very much. I'm excited to be here.
Are you excited?
Yeah, this is actually officially, you're breaking my podcast virginity.
Really?
Really, are we?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's great.
How does it feel? Does it hurt? Is it comfortable? What happens?
So far, you've been very gentle.
Yeah.
You've offered me alcohol.
We're honoured, Danny, to have you here and to also be taking Danny, your podcast virginity.
And before we...
popping your podcast.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Oh.
You like that one, don't you, Francis?
Technically it's not because I did a lengthy interview, but it was... I feel like this is the kind of one that's like a podcast that is
in
not intense. Because the last one was intense.
Yeah.
This can be intense, I've heard.
No, this is pretty gripping. We ask you some pretty serious questions.
And we have
no format. So literally we just go with it, whatever happens.
I love that.
Who told you it was intense?
Loads of people. Just loads. Everyone's talking about it.
Everyone's talking about it, saying, and walking in here, they're going, don't go in there, it's intense.
Can I be honest from the start, dude?
Yeah, Danny, for once.
No, I'm always honest. What do you mean? I'm always honest.
Be nice for a change.
No, I'm always freaking honest. Liar.
Be honest.
I'm being honest.
I would like this to be the most honest interview I've ever had.
Francis would be arrested, so we can't actually...
What?
Yeah, go on.
It doesn't even make sense.
Yeah, it does make sense.
Are you trying to be funny there?
No, I'm not trying to be funny. It's just true. But Danny, when I was about from age of about 12 to 16, you were my man crush.
What?
That is no word of a lie. I'm not saying that. You were my man.
With so that hairdo and those spots.
No, you were my man crush. And listen, we're going to talk about so many other things, but... You know, you were in McFly, one of the biggest boy bands for my...
Well, when we were at school, it was like, yeah, huge, McFly.
And you were my man crush.
It was McFly and Busted, wasn't it?
Yeah. And actually, well, The Noise Next Door, do you remember?
Oh my God, mate, they were crazy.
Who were The Noise Next Door?
Those three guys were like...
Do you know, they actually lived near... Like, they lived in Henley, near my school.
They lived next door to you.
When I was at school, and I remember meeting The Noise Next Door, and they were like... They were really hardcore, but like, they were. I don't know whatever happened to them.
What were they?
I don't know.
Were they brothers?
Well, I don't know. It was weird. There was something weird going on there.
You know, Francis, when he was younger, wrote a letter to Hanson asking if he could be in their band of brothers and play the violin. Yeah, this is completely true.
Did you?
Well, you could ask if they responded.
Did they say yes?
No, because they. They didn't. Have a
let's get a ginger bloke a in our violinist. Band who's not my brother. Let's do that.
They didn't have a violinist, and so I played the violin.
Yep.
So I just wrote them a letter, said, can I lend my services?
You had a chance.
Yeah.
He said, can I be the fluffer? That's literally what you wanted to be, I reckon.
No, I had more hair back then, and I thought, you know, we'd all hang out. They looked like they had fun. Yeah.
But they knew the violinist.
Yeah, there's no way they're going to have an 8-year-old cruising around them. But Danny, you know, I think this is where you've got to start things off at for sure, is the fact that, you know, you were in McFly, one of the biggest boy bands. Was it always music for you? Was it always going to be music from the beginning? Is that what you were just...
Yeah, I think when I was 18 months and I got my first guitar. It was a plastic one, obviously. It was about 18, 19 months old. And I just remember literally going to bed with it, sleeping with it. And I got a bit older, started learning about, you know, I mean, I don't know whether I got pushed into it or just mind fucked with it.
Did you think you got pushed into it?
Or? No, the only thing that was on TV was like Pink Floyd, Springsteen, Tubular Bells and all this. And I remember getting obsessed with Mike Oldfield.
See, I don't know any of these. I know Springsteen. I know Blue Bells. What are the Blue Bells?
Tubular Bells, man. You know the Exorcist theme tune?
Oh, yeah. Sick.
Jamie.
What is it? Kubla Bells?
Tubular Bells.
So sing a song, going, Francis. Tubular Bells.
I'm trying to think of one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, some crazy, you know, it's like crazy instrumental.
Yeah, it's like ELO sort of.
But he was an amazing, I was just obsessed with like the whole production of it. And I just knew I wanted to do that. And I saw Springsteen on stage and I said to my mum, I want to do that one day. And cutting a very, very long story short is when we played Hyde Park, a few years ago, that was one of my dreams. Mm-hmm. And I feel like when you achieve one of those things, it's quite overwhelming. Yeah. When you said as a kid, you want to play that stage, and I ended up playing that stage.
And Bruce was in the crowd, and he was like, I want to do that one.
Yeah, Bruce. Yeah, yeah. That was the only thing missing.
Yeah. I want to do that
The only thing missing. supported, mate, the Backstreet Boys supported us.
That's, really?
What's that about?
What's happened
what's
to them?
What's that about?
Really?
What's happened to them? And you know what we said? Can we get a picture? They were like, nah.
No! No fucking ways.
Yeah.
Oh, what? So they didn't want to, they didn't want it to be documented.
They didn't mingle. No.
Wait, I
don't think it was a proud moment for them.
wait, hang on. That is absolutely ridiculous. They said no.
Yeah.
But all three of them, like in unison, like they just go no, like straight up.
No, it was kind of a no in the sense that like a couple of them will do it if you come to our dressing room, and we were like, we're headlining, bro.
What the hell?
So yeah, it was a bit like, nah, mate.
Do you think they were a bit chippy about you headlining?
I don't know. Maybe there's some weird. Maybe we were just getting fed some other stuff, but that's what we got from it. Like that's asked for a picture, like you know, all of us together backstage at Hyde Park.
I hate that. Do you know, honestly, I really just hate that where people just kind of have that kind of vibe. I just don't understand it. But with McFly was, it was enormous, you know.
Huge
and all these kind of things. And you said you kind of got into music and things like that. What, did you put the band together or were you auditioning for it or what happened?
Okay, so I thought, you know, I was doing music and blah, blah, blah. And I thought I was basically like a Noel Gallagher, Liam Gallagher, meet Springsteen guy in college. Doing my thing.
You were like, I'm going to fuck shit up. I'm going to like throw people out windows. I'm going to have sex Manchester, with so many things. Yeah. I'm a man.
Fights.
But that's all I knew. You know, I was wearing a parka and everything. I'm the air like I did. You know, I loved it. I was part of that. Loved that scene. And then my sister was actually always the singer in our family. And I just played guitar and I started singing. I won a few competitions. I thought, oh, I'll give it a go. And my sister, remember the, you know, is it a newspaper or a magazine called The Stage?
Oh, yeah.
I remember that. I remember
the auditions and things.
Yeah. At the time, it was online and she printed it out. And, you know, sometimes if you print a shit like ours was, misses out a bit of ink here and there.
Yeah.
It printed it off and it says, Universal Music auditioning in Manchester looking for, you know, pop rock singers. Sorry, rock singers, not whatever. It misprinted something. I can't remember what it was, but it misprinted. And I thought, brilliant.
It left out the boy band.
It left out the no guitars bit, mate. When I turned up, we turned up to Manchester and I was the only one with a guitar. And I went to my mum and I was like, Mum, why is that guy over there like stretching out? And I was like, what's going on here? I said, Mum, I just want to go home. This is really fucking weird. This is really weird. And she's like, no, just come on, it's Universal. Even if it's not right for you, just stay here.
It's nice that you took your mum, though. You didn't like the rock star.
Yeah,
rock star scene, you know.
Still down to earth.
Still there.
You've always got that. You've got to have that.
You know where your bread's buttered.
Yeah. So I went in there and went into this room and they wouldn't allow me, you know, in there with my guitar. And they went, right, lads, everyone, line up, blah, 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 blah. We're going to play some music.
And how many of them are you? How many people are there?
Hundreds,
really?
but we went in like 15 at a time into
so
a room.
X Factor style, in a sense, where
it was
that.
Universal. And what I didn't realize is they were putting together this band, and they got us all in this room. Like, yeah, all right, boys, we're gonna separate you all into single. Find a space. We'll play some music, and we want you to dance.
Oh my god, I would have shot myself. I mean,
honestly, it was awful. It was the worst moment of my life. Because there's this guy next to me doing this, like, you know, and I'm just like this, like, and looking at my mum through the door, through the window.
I know mum's actually going, go on!
Mum's laughing her head off.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, that was obviously wrong for me, but Universal picked me up from there, basically, and Tom was part of that management, and Tom was the cameraman who was filming that audition, and he said to me, look, really like you, do you want to start a band with me? And I went, yeah, why not? So I got the train down every weekend to his parents' house and we started writing the album. And remember Minidisc?
Yeah.
So he used to send me Minidiscs. And I remember him, he sent me this Minidisc through the post. He's like, hello Danny mate, how you doing? I've got this song and it starts like this, dun dun dun, recently I've been, and then his mum goes, Tom, your dinner, and he goes, all right mum, I'll be down in a sec, because obviously she's out of my league. And I'm
dude,
like,
dude, that's insane. Amazing. But what do you think it was about you? Why were you, because if you're the one like not really dancing or not really, what was it about you that was standing out from the crowd? Because there had to be something. What made you unique?
Well, I went in there and sang Richard Ashcroft, Bittersweet Symphony of the Verve. And
love
then,
it.
And then
love that song.
Yeah, and then they were like, oh, do you know any pop?
Same, I love that song as well.
Do you know how it goes?
Yeah. Sweet Symphony.
No.
Sweet Symphony.
That's Clean Bandit, isn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, I went in there and sang that and a bit of Stereophonics. And like, oh, do you know any pop? I said, well, I don't know. I said, Paul Weller, and they all laughed. I don't know. I don't understand why they weren't laughing, because I didn't know about pop at the time.
Yeah. Did you not?
And what this is what's crazy, right? So Tom went, look, come on, I'll take you down the stairwell and teach you this song. And I remember in this stairwell, and he taught me this song, Backstreet Boys it was.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Those motherfuckers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wish. So, yeah.
Even though, they
didn't
know. And then
who knew one day they'd be supporting you?
I know, it's crazy, man. But that, honestly, that song, when I learned it, I was like, ah, I get pop now, because it was like this
But was the genre pop? I suppose it is pop. I would say like pop's like Britney Spears. Do you know what I mean?
What is pop? Popular music now, isn't it? But like at the time, I was writing 6 minute long songs.
Well, now
I didn't know that you had to get a radio edit at 3:20 and all that. I was like,
well now
you really see. You're basically writing a monologue. Everyone's like, fuck, get on with it. Like, what's happening?
I can write two songs now, you know, 6 minutes.
Well, now pop is like mumble rap, isn't it? So, that's all.
Sorry,
it's gone a bit crazy.
It's all like mumble rap, but I guess because it's really cheap to produce.
Is that what? Sorry, I'm being so. Is that what pop? Is that what pop means? Popular music. It's not like a genre.
That's what I see it as.
I mean, pop is like a sort of decade thing. I would say
no. Pop is no. What you thought it was like? Yeah. What like? Modern.
I thought it was like rap or like rock.
No, pop is popular music.
Yeah, whatever's popular.
No, you're both wrong.
It's short for pop.
You haven't been in the music industry as long as me. I know what I'm talking about. So that's what pop is.
What did you think it was?
I thought it was a genre of music.
Oh, what called pop music?
Pop music.
But you didn't know it was short for popular.
Well, I did know that, but I thought that was the name of the genre.
Yeah, that is. Well, it's not a genre. It's just.
It's popular. Become a genre, yeah, I think, because of that. Because of that, you know.
But then, so you and Tom linked up, okay, and you started writing these songs. And so then you were like, okay, fine, we're going to start a band. And how old were you at this time?
So I was 17, just about to turn 18. And we signed to management.
Song right there, 17, about to turn
18. Drinking my first Corona. Yeah.
Sitting in here, eating Maltesers.
I don't know why I'm singing that, because I'm quite a good singer, actually.
No, you're a really good singer. Eating Maltesers, with grapes on the side. It's like Nickelback. So why does your jaw do that?
That's ordinary.
Why does your jaw go out? You got like an underbite.
Arms wide open.
So you're 17 at the time, and you know, growing up, right, it's you either want to be an actor, like an astronaut or a rock star.
That's only those three things.
Only.
No, but it's true. Or a footballer, right? You want to be. So there's a mixture of things.
Football was huge for me.
Yeah.
So, but guys, you know, so you want to be a footballer or a rock star, right? And so you then start living this dream of something that because it's only a dream. You have posters on the wall. You love Springsteen. You love all these people. But then suddenly it's becoming a reality. What was that like for you? Was it just, this is what you were going to do? There was no ifs and buts. This is what I'm going
to
do.
It was crazy to start with, because obviously you don't realize you're living your dream until you look back on it, I don't think. I think you look back and you go, wow. Because the first 2 years...
Because you take it for granted, maybe.
Well,
you're in the moment, I suppose.
Yeah, you just don't know what the future holds. And you're writing these songs. And we signed to management. It's like, okay, that's great, you know, amazing. And we stayed in the Intercontinental in Hyde Park Corner in room 363.
Smart, look at that.
All in the same room.
It was just me and Tom at the time. Uh-huh. So, yeah, we shared the room. And
a couple of friends.
And lots of lady friends.
Lots of lady friends in that too.
Mate, we used to write a song and then go, come on, let's go out. And there was this place called, oh my God, it was in Holborn called... it was called After School or
String
Old School.
Stringfellows. That's what it was called. I know. Francis knows the one as well, very well.
Peter used to meet us at the front door and Mark was in.
And you used to go there and used to...
Mate, we used to go out on £8 and get battered.
Yeah, see, isn't that insane?
Yeah, £8.
£8. Yeah. And dude, this is the same thing. I went to Leeds University, so we're similar. we're very, that's why we connect and you don't connect with Francis.
Is that why?
And it's your taste of music. He doesn't like...
I think we probably got more similar taste of music than you.
No, no.
Look. Britpop. Do you know what Britpop is?
Yeah, I know what Britpop is. British popular music.
Yeah, well, God, well,
well, you asked me what it was.
All right, name a Britpop.
Okay, yeah. I will. Blur.
Oh, that's good.
Was that actually? Yeah, I knew that. Was that actually one?
Yeah.
There you go. No worries.
Hang on. Stop what you're doing, because we've got a word from our sponsors.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And now back to the podcast. But but this is the most amazing thing about it. So you were slightly growing into this kind of like band that was becoming bigger and bigger. And how did you start to pick everyone else? How did you sort of form it together? Because it's you and Tom together.
Yeah.
And then you're like, and you're young. Like, how old's Tom at
17.
The time?
He's 18. I'm 17.
Which is baby. Like, that is so young at the time. But then you're forming a business together.
It was difficult for my mum, you know, and dad, because they were like, you know, you're moving to London to sign this management. And I'm not, you know, this guy was kind of an old American guy. And it's not like this young dude who walks in and goes, yeah, hey, can I sign your son? It's like, can I sign your son? It's like, yeah, it's a bit weird. But so we signed to him, and we basically wrote the first album in that hotel room.
Really?
We went round to record labels and played it acoustically on, like, in a room like this with executives sat on sofas. We went round every label in London. It was the most mundane, weird, atmospheric.
Let's just actually pitch that as well. I want to, because as a listener, you have to understand that. So you're going with your tape, or would it be in tape?
No, not
was it a CD?
We didn't go with a tape. We went with two guitars.
Oh, so you actually went with the guitars? Yeah. Okay, fine. So you take it in there. So it's two guitars, not attached to like speakers, nothing at all. You sit in there, and you've got executives sitting around. And you go, we're gonna play you a song.
Well, you're selling this idea of going, we've got two guys here. We don't know how many we want in the band, but we know we want it to be like Beatles, Beach Boys, like rock and roll, kind of like pop.
So what? At what point? Because you said you originally wanted to, you know, go down the sort of stereophonics Britpop. Yeah. You sang a bit of Sweet Symphony in your audition. At what point did you say, oh well, okay, I'm okay not going down that path and going down a more pop rock?
I just always like to challenge. I always like to test myself, and like it's hard. Like, you know, I love being, you know, from up north and being from Bolton, but the problem is you can only get so far.
Yeah.
And I feel like to challenge yourself and get out of your comfort zone
is
where. And I kind of knew that at an early. I don't know why. I think I knew it from football, trying new positions. I was like, oh shit, I'm actually good at right back or right wing. Or
well, you develop. It's the only way you develop is putting yourself out of your comfort zone.
Exactly. And I think being a little bit kind of like. At the time I was at school, it wasn't, you don't carry your guitar down the corridor, or else you get I got spat on and stuff. It's weird. It's weird.
You're like Billy Elliot
for music. Yeah,
stop singing and dancing. Yeah. What are you doing?
Oh, Kez, I only know about birds.
Oh, go down to pit.
All right, lads, come on, podcast. You're taking piss.
You're taking to pit.
Bloody hell.
I'll come down you like a ton of bricks.
I can't say anything because guess where my son was born?
London.
Guess what he's got on his bloody passport.
Oxford.
Chelsea.
Does he?
Yes.
You posh boy, look at
I
that.
Know. Can you believe it?
Welcome to the team. Nice to meet you. Welcome to the party. Can I be quickly honest with you? I once did a personal appearance in Bolton.
Yes.
I went to, it was a club called Levels that I went to in Bolton. It's a new club. It was
the old Icon?
I've only been there once. Atlantis.
Those were the days.
And I went, and I got given my hotel room, which is the Holiday Inn in Bolton. And I'm not being snobby or anything. I actually couldn't stay in it. I was so scared for my own life that I was going to be something was going to happen to me. That like it smelled a cigarette. I thought someone had died in there. So I had to take a taxi from Bolton all the way back to London.
Are you kidding me?
I swear to God,
because you didn't change hotel. You thought
no.
All hotels are like this in Bolton. Yeah. I'm going home.
This is it. This is it.
Get me back to Chelsea.
What's the Holiday Inn like at Chelsea?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Holiday Inn. It's lovely.
I don't know why I've gone more northern now. We're talking about Bolton.
But the thing is, so you guys, so you're writing these songs, you're going into these executives, you were pitching these songs, and what then happened next? So they kind of said, right, we kind of love this thing, or what was it?
At the time, we weren't really bothered. We were just like, cool, letting our manager do his thing.
Yeah.
So we were just writing the songs, and we knew they were good because everyone was like buzzing about it. And there was this buzz about these two guys that were creating this band, and we knew that. And we just kept going with it and going with the energy. So from that, we got offered a deal at Ireland Universal. And it was a huge thing for us. It was a huge deal. And it went down, you know, in the industry as like a big deal. And
just to pry this probably, once again, you don't have to say, but what kind of deal are we talking about? You're 17, 18 years old, and they're offering you a big cash deal. And what kind of money are they talking about back then? What was it?
It was like, it was six figures. It was big. It was like as big as U2's. It was, I think
that's insane.
Well, no, what they told us is it was as big as U2's, one of U2's deals or something like that, or one of the first deals that they had.
What?
So. That's all I know.
But it wasn't. You haven't sold any records.
Not one, mate.
So then how
obviously
are they?
You have to recoup that.
It's like an advance.
So yeah, it's an advance.
And I watched this documentary once called 30 Seconds to Mars with Gerard Butler as lead singer. Gerard Leto. And he talks about the fact that he, and not saying you have anything similar, but he freaking hated the music industry because it was, he said he was creating all these things and then he was just paying everything back to them and it was pretty tough. And so you're given this money and then look, I have no idea, but I suppose at that age you're like, well, holy shit, we got this in our account, let's just go crazy with it.
You're tied in a lot of ways. Yeah, you got, obviously you straight away in a high tax bracket, and then you get you know, percent off your manager. But then the problem is what we didn't understand at the time is you don't own your record, and you don't own it for 10 years.
You don't own anything.
You get it back after 10 years.
So you
get
no rights.
I don't know the details of it, but I know that after 10 years, you get 100% back. And maybe we did deals where it's 20%, 80% ownership.
Yeah.
But what we did is we made sure that we own touring. So we own all our merchandise and touring and stuff, which is kind of...
Now that's where the money is anyway.
Well, now, like, I've just self-released a single and I own 100% of it, and that's why it's difficult to get a deal for me now, because I want to own my record.
Yeah.
And we're freaking going to get into that, man. We can't wait. We're going to freaking get into that. But also, sorry to keep going down this timeline. I'm so interested in this, because you also, you know, the music industry has changed, like,
yes,
so much. And okay, well, I'm not even going to try to explain it. How has it changed? You should have probably explained. How has it changed from when you started to now?
Well, the most obvious thing is physical sales to streaming.
Yeah.
We used to do signings at HMV, sell records, and, you know, we'd sell bundles instead of, you know, getting one single, you get three.
Yeah.
And there's all tricks like that where you can get, you know, but nowadays it's just, I think one sale is 100 streams. So you have to get your mates to stream it 100 times to class as one sale.
Oh, my God.
And it's
God.
Just a little bit, the algorithm's a bit weird, and, you know, where does the money go? Obviously, you get, it's just not as good. You know, we don't get paid as well as we used to do, put it that way.
And do you think the music industry has lost a bit of its charm, in a sense? And I take that very carefully, because the charm of the music industry was the fact that it was about you making music, and it was all about the music, and that was you created a great song and then it got out there, people loved it. And I think, from my personal, it's now about being a brand. And it's not quite about just the music, but maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I think it's on the verge of something very exciting.
Oh, really? See, that's different. Okay, fine.
Because the reason why is, if we can get the, like, I was watching this thing on YouTube. People should go and check it out. It's called The Art of Distortion, and it's just explaining about, you've got these beautiful, like, studios that have got like £100,000 of equipment, and then they get out an iPhone AirPod, and they go, "We do it all to be played on this." Or an iPhone. It's like, why have we got all this?
Yeah.
But it does translate, and it does make a difference. And why is that? And it's just everything about why, you know. Because, you know, back in the day, you remember your hi-fi, it was massive.
Yeah.
Absolutely massive speakers. You crank it, you've got a CD.
I freaking loved it, man. Nowadays, I blew out the speakers of my hi-fi because I was playing Dead Prez. Do you remember Dead Prez?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Hip-hop.
Yeah. Hip! Hop in my boarding school room, thinking I was fucking wicked.
That's amazing.
Yeah, but so you think it's on the brink of something really exciting.
Yeah, and I think it's getting there, because if there's a lot you can say about this, and everyone has different opinions, but streaming is exciting because it's opened up a whole new world to
for releasing music,
but also we know what people actually do like because the proof's there and they go out and whatever. And there seems to be less secret, like secrecy towards artists. We tend to give a lot more away, like with Instagrams and kind of all
that.
Well,
there's no secrecy, right?
There's none of that anymore, which is kind of cool,
less
I suppose.
Guarded, more transparency.
Yeah, maybe people want that. Like, you know, but there is that thing of like, you know, the internet, the whole, not just Spotify, but the internet and YouTube, as it's basically an encyclopedia for kids. They can just learn and do whatever they want, you know, and search whatever they want. So there's no real control in terms of like high up companies going, you will listen to this,
which
because,
is what they,
or you will buy this.
Okay, there we go. And that's what I actually get, which is so true, because I'm being an idiot, which is now just made me realize is that I had this whole vision that it was about the music. It's not. It's about these big corporate businesses having complete control over everything. They were the ones who were saying, you're going to be a star or not be a star in a certain kind of way. But now it's freedom.
Well, right? Nowadays, us as the artists and us as the musicians and all that have more power.
Yeah.
What's weird is, there's so much going on. There's labels that, you know, are scared to invest or there's very few, I don't know how to say it without being pissing somebody off, but it's kind of like, there's no balls in
the risk
anymore.
Averse.
No
yeah, but that's in television as well. That's in television as well. Television's actually saying no one's being risky enough.
It's always about how they look, I think.
So actually, there was a very interesting, Frank Zappa was like an old interview of him talking about this exact thing. And so, you know, in the 60s and 70s, he was saying, you know, there was, you know, you had sort of, you know, Creedence Clearwater Revival, all these like these sort of far out bands who did stuff that had never been, you know, done before, and were having all the experimental stuff, Led Zeppelin, all these guys, and then, you know, they it sold so well, but the old guys with the you know cigars, they were the ones releasing that, and they were like, okay, well it's selling, so
because that was the only only option,
yeah, exactly. So let's do more of that. So then they got in these hippies to try and guess what the preempt what the young people are gonna want to listen to, and then the sort of young hippies and the hip people became the guys at the top, and then started only like basically playing what they thought that the young people wanted to play. So they didn't want to take risks, and therefore it became this kind of static thing where these people at the top started to make decisions on what people are going to listen to, and I guess also radio plays and all of that stuff. But now I think if I'm right, you're saying that because
is he just rambling? I'm sorry.
He's getting to a point.
Is he getting to a point?
Because of the sort of accessibility to not just.
Hey, Rob, we've only got a time slot.
Not just. Well, you've been chatting shit the whole time. So I thought I'd say something.
I'm kidding.
So now it's so much more accessible to make music, but also release it. Like, you know, you were talking about you needed a big studio, all this equipment to make some little bit of distortion on a sound. Like now you can have all of that in a program on a digital audio interface. And now, so it's becoming a lot more accessible to make music and release it. But then people are having to invest more in their brand.
I think we did go through a stage though of a lot of bedroom producers and the.
Daniel Bedingfield.
No.
Wasn't he one?
He was amazing. He was an exception. But I think when Spotify first came out, there was a lot of like poor quality stuff on it. And the reason, not, you know, I'm not talking about the big artists. I'm talking about the stuff that dudes have just produced in their bedroom. But suddenly these bedroom producers are becoming like
stars.
Incredible. And like you said, a brand. So you don't have to, you know, I'm not calling Zed a bedroom producer because Zed is one of my favorite ever dance producers, but he's a brand,
and does he do it from his room?
No, I'm just
the Rapper.
But is that
another one? Does it from his room?
He's got like whole merch, and I mean, he's very much.
Oh, he's a YouTuber. Have you seen the documentary, The Art of Organized Noise?
No.
Okay, so it's about like it's amazing because
I'm gonna check it out tonight.
It's amazing, and it's about like how Andre 3000 and CeeLo Green and all these people came out of this basement where they were from on the streets, and because it was too dangerous to hang on the street, they like hung under their basement and they signed it all, and their mum just let their pals come in, and they created this whole like
society, like a scene downstairs, like a basement scene, like a boiler room scene.
Yeah, which is amazing. And I feel like we're on the verge of kind of doing that again with like the tile yards of the world and all these studios around. But it's just
that's so interesting.
It is exciting, but what I would love is the quality back, because CD was the best ever quality that we've ever had, and I think we're on the verge of.
But why is CD the best?
I don't know technically why, but I feel like
does it just sound the best?
Well, it's like streaming Netflix. It's like now you can do HD.
It's a raw file.
When is the purest form? Mm. We might even get better. We might get onto better. Maybe there's something I don't know out there that people will comment on here that, well, it's already that quality. Maybe might be, but I know there's an option on Spotify to get, you know, the best quality, and it's you can hear it.
You can notice, you know, it on good speakers. You can hear the difference in the quality.
I mean, I got a studio in my garden with some speakers that cost me £6,500. They show up everything. Mm. So you do hear...
£6,500 speakers? Mate, I'm sorry. That is a joke. What are you paying for?
I can literally get
20 quid ones from Boots, and they're exactly the same.
Do you know what? I bet they do a better job.
And your neighbours won't be as annoyed. Literally.
They're not that big. They just show up everything.
But dude, before we get into the rest
of it... So much to talk about.
Yeah, we've got so much. We're going to get into it. Francis, but before we get into...
This big ticker here is like making me anxious.
Yeah, don't worry.
I keep looking going...
When it hits 60, Francis dies. It's actually really exciting. But Francis, right. We need to have question of the week. Yeah, so you, and listen, no one ever gets it right. So Francis gives a question, we try and answer it.
Okay.
Yeah. I hope it's a music-based one.
Okay. Do you want a music one?
Well, I mean, it would be quite fitting, wouldn't it? It could be about...
Okay. All right, here we go.
He always says this. He says, here we go, and then doesn't have it in front of him. So you're like ready for it, and then he delays.
No, because... Okay. All right.
Do you see what I mean? Every time. Every time.
No, it's these. Okay, there we go.
He won't be ready. Ready? You ready? Don't you? What did I say? He's not ready.
No, I am ready.
Okay. Yep.
How many? No, that's not.
Yeah. Okay. There we go.
Okay. Well, this is actually about streaming and stuff, so I don't know.
Do you know, in the break while you wait for it, I want to give a big shout out to Polly, who's our editor, who's sitting over here. She is a big fan of yours, okay. Danny. She has a poster of you on her.
Doesn't.
Yeah, she does. She's freaking out right now. And she's also got a play on. And Polly, where's your play? I'm going to give that a shout out right now. Where's your play?
Bridewell Theatre.
Oh, nice. And also, it's a pillow fight. So if you're into that, go and check it out. Right, tickets are £15.
Love a pillow fight.
We love a pillow fight. She is playing one of the pillows. So it's very exciting. But it's at the Bridewell Theatre in London. And it starts when?
November the
6th, 3 days after my birthday. So you can give me a cake and then go there.
It would be funny to play the pillow, wouldn't it?
It would be amazing to play the pillow. Yeah, it'd be great to play the pillow.
Imagine telling your mates that. What are you up to? Playing the pillow also, in the West End.
I'm kidding. But go and check out Polly's play. It's going to be insane. Go and check out the Bridewell Theatre, November the 6th. Tickets are £15 and it's pretty awesome. Not that I've seen it yet, but apparently I hear... The reviews will be good. that's what I hear on the streets. Right, Francis, are we now ready for question of the week?
Yes, we are nearly
There's
ready.
There's a good pace to this podcast. There's a very good pace.
Oh, do you like
no
it?
No messing about. It's quite intense.
It's intense.
I can't think straight, but it's good.
Okay. That's probably the drugs we put
it's
in your beer.
Sorry. Stream is by me. I don't know anymore.
I know. Shit. Okay, let's slow it down for the next one. Let's really just make it more relaxed.
Okay.
Ready.
Are you ready? No, I'm ready. I'm just.
Are you getting
okay? I'm just choosing a good one.
Okay.
All right.
We'll just take a time to relax. I've started talking over him. Yeah. Okay, ready, go.
How many thoughts roughly do we have each day? On average.
Do you know? It's so weird. You ask this question because I was literally talking the other day about
how many thoughts you have during the day.
About how many decisions you can make. There's an actual fact of this.
I can only make one decision.
Well, it's probably because when you're thinking, you're almost like making a decision on something.
Yeah. So like, there's this like, you know, as a busy guy or an entrepreneur or whatever you do as businesses, apparently you're meant to set your clothes out the day before, so it's one less decision.
Yeah. Do you know what?
I'm like, what?
Set your claws out.
No, your clothes.
Oh, claws.
So it's interesting you say that.
Claws.
I wear the same uniform every day. I wear blue. Like a blue trousers, a white shirt, and that's
one less decision.
Yeah, because it helps because I can do it all in one load of laundry.
Danny, you can sum him up in that one sentence.
Great.
No, I'm not.
Firstly, He described it as his uniform. That's the first thing. And secondly, he, convenient reasons so he can all wash it all at once.
That's time saving on many counts.
I like it. Okay, yeah. It's efficient.
So, Danny, you are the guest. You get the honours of going first. How many thoughts do you think you have per day?
Oh, so this is kind of... Okay, so it's different to decision making. So thoughts, I mean, come on. Maybe 50 a minute.
Do you think so?
Yeah. Okay, well, so how many minutes are in a day? Do you know that?
Oh God.
For God's sake, you're asking...
So 60, yeah. No, well, 60 minutes in an hour. Okay, 24 hours. So
keep going.
60 times 24. Two times six is... Here we go. 1,200...
So wait, so 60 in a minute, and how times by how many... how many minutes in an hour? 60.
1,200...
Times by 24. 86,400.
Oh, so
what?
Is that right?
This is a bit.
Is that right? Does that sound
maybe,
right?
Yeah.
Is that 50 a minute?
We're getting Pete, our producer, to Google it for us. So I think it's 86,400. So we then divide that by 50, if I'm right. Is that right, Pete? Just quickly hold on 1 second.
Some frantic calculations going on here.
Oh, we got Polly on it.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Whoa, we've got 86,072 and 1,400.
No, so there's 1,440 minutes in a day.
Oh, in a day.
Oh, no, hang on. Just, guys, hold on. So, like,
so if that's 50 a minute.
How many minutes in a day?
I said that. It's like 1,400.
There's 1,440 minutes a day, not 82,000.
Okay, so half that because I'll be sleeping half the day.
Yeah, but you're dreaming.
But is that a thought?
Yeah.
I suppose it is.
So I'm going to do... divide that by 50. So you're saying you have... Oh no, times it by 50. Sorry, 1440.
Don't give the calculator to Jamie. You can't even.
So it's 72,000. Pete, you had it right from to begin with.
So take a few hours out of the day where I'm. No, because I'm thinking at the same time. Around about 70,000, I would say. For me personally.
Jamie?
I have two thoughts a day.
Get up and wank.
That's it. Wanking, and then when am I going to poo?
I love that. I love that getting up is one of his thoughts.
Yeah, I might as well get up now
because I've got a wank.
All right. So,
sorry, mate. I'm so sorry.
So, Danny, you're going for 70,000. I'm going to go.
My brain, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go. Do you know what? I'm going to go up there with you. I think my brain works pretty active as well.
That's why don't worry, be happy.
But I think that you're probably a little bit more, just because I think you're probably more creative in a certain way than I am. So I would say that I'm going to go 50,000. I'm going to go 50,000, you go 70,000.
Okay.
Part two, Francis?
Well, yeah, listen up at the end of part two. I will give you the answer.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in part two. We still got Danny Jones. We're still going to have answer the question of the week.
Danny Jones from McFly.
And loads of other things.
And McBusted.
And other things.
And other things.
Yeah.
And Danny Jones.
Yeah. See you in part two.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.